Welcome to the Faith Element Podcast for the December 30, 2018 session, focusing on Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. I'm David Cassidy.
I'm Nikki Hardiman.
I'm Bert Montgomery.
And I'm Daniel Glaze.
Well, here we are at the end of another year. Can you believe it?
No.
I know, right?
Goodness.
My daughter asked me the other day, she's an adult daughter, and she says, why is it that this year just flew by? And I said, honey, it's only going to get worse.
That's right. What happens.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's been a year. I know for me, it's been a busy year. This year will go down in my diary as a year where we began to get our feet settled here in Kentucky. Regina got to move here after we had been two-state marriage for about 10 months, and she got a job, and we've been able to sell our house in Georgia and get a place here. And so for us, I think what we will remember and be grateful for this year will be that, you know, that chance to get settled and begin to put some roots down. So I guess I'm curious, what would you remember from this year that you're thankful for?
You know, this year it's been a busy one. It's also been a tough one. We've had, you know, lots of challenges personally and within my family. And, you know, it's been wonderful to see and to experience when congregations take care of their ministers in good ways. Mm-hmm. We could all give testimony of when that doesn't happen. And of pastors who neglect their duty to be good shepherds. But lay down some of our pride and release some of our own vulnerability and allow folks to care for us. It's really a humbling thing, and you feel like good ministry happens. And so I've just seen that happen over and over this year, despite all the busyness and craziness. I've really enjoyed allowing my church to take good care of me. That's not been any small thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, for me, there are two things that stand out. One church-related was the leadership role that University Baptist Church of Starkville, Mississippi had in Starkville's first ever Pride Parade, which was, I mean, I had a part in that, but it was so much bigger than me in terms of the church's role in that. And I could not have been more proud of the congregation and their leadership, many of whom were some of the founders of the Pride Parade. And especially during some time of adversity, getting that to happen here. And then, and the witness that I heard feedback from that, from the community. But then also just personally, one of the great joys I had this year was getting to come back to my alma mater, the Baptist Seminary of Kentucky, where I got to give the commencement speech and make fun of my friend David Cassidy a little bit. But that was a great, great honor and a great joy.
You did wonderful. A great job.
Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting question for me, David. I've been sitting here trying to think, and I always try to not say friends and family because it sounds cliche, but I do think that as I come to the end of this year, I am grateful for the friends and the family that keep me and that walk with me, you guys included, that I have a deep appreciation for people who walk with you in your good times and your bad.
Yeah.
You know, we've all kind of talked about it's been a difficult year, but I've had people who've helped me through it and realized that I'm not, you know, you're not alone. And so just pretty grateful for the people who walk with me.
Well, I hope as our listeners reflect across a year, they too can take joy in those who walk with us, both through the joys and the hard times. Mm-hmm. We all face them. Well, before we get into this podcast, I would like to alert our listeners to a change that's coming to Faith Element. I'm excited to announce that starting in 2019, we're going to be launching a conversations session page. Now, unfortunately, this will replace our current Mystic page, but we think it promises to be a wonderful way for our podcast listeners to better connect their own personal Bible study or those of your group with this podcast. So basically, if you enjoy this podcast and the conversations that we have here, we hope that what this session page does is allows you to continue those conversations in your own group at your church. For a long time among ourselves here, we talk about, you know, for us, the podcast in many ways is a chance for us to simply do what we hope you will do, that we hope the way that we have a conversation can be something that you enjoy and benefit from in your own group. Because each of you bring stories and experiences and wisdom from the journey of your lives, just as we do. And all we do is share those, ask questions, and, well, act silly sometimes. But, So anyway, it's a new session page. We'll be calling it Conversations. It will be directly connected to the podcast. So the writer of the session page will listen to the podcast and then put together the prompts for the group, assuming then, of course, that the group listens to the podcast. So it's a little bit of a twist on the faith element approach, but just based on the feedback we've gotten from the podcast, we think it could be something that groups could benefit from. So I hope you'll give it a try, faithelement.net. You can get a free trial if you're not already using Faith Element with your group. I hope you'll give it a shot. Let us know what you think. Okay, Daniel, it's the last session of 2018. Would you help us get started with this one?
Yeah, I'll be glad to. And we were laughing before we started recording that this is a very well-known passage of Scripture. And even though I've been preaching nearly every Sunday for 15 years almost, I've never preached this passage because this is a passage associated with the Sunday after Christmas, which, as yes, we joked, is typically youth minister Sunday, because the pastor, as you know, typically takes this Sunday off. So it was good to study this wonderful passage, and it's a very brief passage from Colossians, just 6 verses. But it contains some beautiful language, and I thought I'd begin just by reading it quickly. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. As I say, such a beautiful passage of Scripture, almost the kind of thing you'd see cross-stitched on a pillow. But we need to be clear about something. These verses are not some inoffensive homespun advice on simply playing nice. No, in the face of persecution, in the midst of Roman occupation, the author is telling us how to live, how to face a cold world and still radiate the warmth and love and light of Christ. And in that respect, I suppose it's a great passage for the Sunday after Christmas, because the birth of Jesus, the incarnation of God, is about bearing witness. We clothe ourselves with the love of Christ, with the peace of Christ, because this world needs some flesh and blood evidence that God is still with us. This world needs to know that those who follow Christ are about love and not hate, peace and not violence, goodwill toward all people, not just their own little narrow group. So, my friends, this scripture is not some sappy, saccharine, can't we all get along passage. This is revolutionary. God calls us to make our world a better place by dedicating our lives to reflecting the love and peace of Christ. Because I believe that when others see Christ in us, maybe they'll see Christ in themselves. And I think the answer to making the world a more peaceful and Christ-like place is to let God's love shine through us so that others may see that God is love. I think that's how you reach the world with the gospel of Christ. We let God's love so transform us that we're not afraid to love those who may appear unlovable, that we're not afraid to accept the outcast, that we're not afraid to reach out and touch other people. with a love that Christ gives. So this passage is about putting on Christ, about putting on compassion, kindness, humility. And the author does so by using this metaphor of putting on clothes. But it's not entirely about clothes. I mean, we know that we can worship and follow Jesus in shorts and running shoes just as well as we can in suits and high heels. It's not really the clothes that matter. I think the author of this passage is talking about our real clothes, the clothes that are knitted together from the entire fabric of our lives, using those beautiful patterns that God has given us, patterns of justice, forgiveness, kindness, grace, mercy, and peace. And when I read this passage, it calls to mind those early days of the church. You may be aware that in the early church, when people professed their faith and were baptized, to symbolize this radical change, this new creation, they would often take off all their clothes and enter the baptismal waters as naked as the day they were born. And when they came out of the water, they were given a white robe, almost like wrapping a baby in a blanket. Putting on this new robe symbolized the new way of life they had embraced. So in a very real sense, somewhat literal sense, they had put on Christ. They had put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness. They had wrapped themselves in patience and in love. I'm also reminded of a story that Will Willimon once told about being in a church service where the preacher was just railing against all the moral decay in America. And he was preaching specifically about the AIDS epidemic. "Those people with AIDS are getting what they deserve," the pastor said. "Sin leads to sickness, case closed." After the service, on his way out, Willimon struck up a conversation with an older man, a longtime member of the church, and they were talking about the sermon. The man said, "You know, I used to think just like the preacher. But then I got involved in our town's home for AIDS victims. I go there every week to be with those young men. Most of them have all but been forgotten by their families. So I do what I can. But I have to tell you the truth, I get more out going by there than what I give. It's really done wonders for my prayer life." You know, putting on Christ, clothing ourselves with love, compassion, kindness. It's not just about how to be a good and obedient, maybe even a self-righteous Christian. Putting on patience, putting on forgiveness, living in harmony. I believe that's how God just might save this world. And that's a little background on our text for this week.
I was listening to you, Daniel, and while the words, you know, certainly sound wonderful, right? Love and patience, kindness, meekness, it's fabulous. We love it when people treat us that way. Mm. But it is the hardest doggone thing to do. And what I was sitting here thinking about was, how many times do I mean, even in church, forget about outside of the congregation, but even in church, how many times do I worry about what I can or can't say because I'm afraid that it will be placed into some kind of box that makes it hard to be heard or to talk? And I say that only to say those things you listed from the scripture seem like things that encourage us to talk to one another and allow us to talk to one another, even where we disagree, even where we have strong feelings. That we could do that because of kindness and meekness and love. But I'm not sure that we're very good at it, even in church, much less when you walk around anywhere else and wonder, okay, my father passed away recently and I was with family. And I was thinking about this around the dinner conversation several times because it would go places that that I would think, oh, I don't want this to be an occasion of stress or of strife. I want this to be our family together remembering and celebrating a life. And yet there are these real differences of opinion and division about things that matter. So I guess all that to say, I mean, can we do this? Is this something the church can do? Can we do this?
Mm. You know, that's really interesting, David, because I didn't get into this because this is another sermon entirely, but since you brought it up, I'm going to go there. I'm grateful that you brought it to a we and talked about conversation and how we do this in community.
Yeah.
Because I think so much of this kind of pious how we live in the world is very sort of self-centered, kind of, you know, how am I going to comport myself today? But all these yous are plural.
Mm. Yeah.
This is, as we'd say here, y'all. These are y'alls, not you singular.
Mm. Yes.
Let the peace of Christ rule in y'all's hearts. Mm. And so I think the author intends for these to be communal admonitions, and y'all do this, not just you individually, you individually, you individually. So that's why I think this is how we live together. This is how we treat one another. And it's not just being nice or rolling over playing dead, but, you know, as we've talked before, meekness is about, in the face of evil or injustice, standing toe-to-toe and not flinching, but also not giving in to that evil, too. It's hard, but I think it's something we must do together.
And it has me thinking about how this was, and I think you said this, was believed to be probably an early baptismal hymn.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it is almost instructive for now you are a part of this community. This is what we do. This is how we are together. You have become a part of this. It is not unlike, it makes me think of, and I don't know that there is any actual connection. I don't remember reading this in any of my study about the passage, but the way that you talked about it and the way that I kind of read it myself, it made me think of the Ten Commandments. And the connection for me is I really did read this passage as instructive. This is what the community of God looks like. This is who we are. Not you're supposed to come do this, but this is what you get to be a part of. And when we look at the structure of the Ten Commandments, they are apodictic laws, which means it's a certain kind of structure in the way that they're written in the Hebrew language. And so really, God isn't saying you should do this, but God is saying, this is what my people do. And then lists these 10 laws. We call the 10 commandments, but they're written in a way that my people don't steal. God's people don't kill. God's people don't covet. You know, and it is descriptive of the community and the way that we are to be in community. And so I don't think there's any actual connection in the relationship of those, but to me, they function similarly.
I'm going to try to connect what you just said, Nikki.
Oh.
I love the idea, the image from Colossians about putting on clothes, that the clothes we wear, because the clothes we wear tell people something about ourselves. We're expressing something about ourselves to the people around us. You know, I'm a Mississippi State fan, so I'm going to wear maroon as often as I can, maroon and white, and every Friday in Starkville, Mississippi is Maroon Friday. Everybody wears maroon. And especially when we travel to Oxford, Mississippi, or down to Baton Rouge, or even to Fayetteville, Arkansas, David, we're gonna wear maroon and white so that everybody, and you know, and Baton Rouge, you're going to wear purple and gold. So we can look at each other and we can see who you are. This idea of clothing being compassion and being love and being, as opposed to what was some of the other things, lying, deceit. I got to go back and look at some of those earlier verses. Anyway, the contradiction there. It reminds me of a story that Kentucky pastor, now retired, Michael Duncan, told me once. Michael was pastor for, golly, an eternity, a what, career. 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
30 years in Eminence, Kentucky, in the same mm-hmm. county where I was, and 20 other pastors at the same church I was at some point. And he told the story of a small town, rural Kentucky, of a biker, kind of a Hell's Angels kind of guy, who had grown up, the family was there in rural Henry County, Kentucky, but he left the town, left the church, left everything, went out west, and joined a group of bikers. And he lived the hard living life of bikers. And he looked the part of the biker, and his physical body had the scars and the wear and the tear of a biker. But yet, somehow, he maintained contact with Pastor Michael Duncan, and he died. And Michael did his funeral back home in Eminence, Kentucky, where Michael still was. And Michael said at the funeral there were two distinct groups of people as clearly divided as you could imagine. The church-going family members and friends in the community were there in their suits and their ties and their best dresses. And then there were the bikers. And Michael went over to the table afterwards at the family feast that you have at funerals and in rural churches. And Michael left all the people in the suits, and he himself wearing a nice suit, and went over to the biker tables and asked if he could sit down with them. And they said, aren't you the preacher? And he said, yeah. Well, why are you coming over here to be with us? We don't need any of that hellfire brimstone. We don't need to hear about your salvation. Why aren't you staying over there with all those well-dressed folks that look like you? And he says, well, because I loved your friend, and I know that you did too. And he sat down with them, and he listened to them share their stories about their dear deceased friend. And he laughed with them, and he cried with them, and they learned to trust him. And it was just a short conversation. And one of them spoke up. He said, preacher, those folks at the other table, his family and his family's friends, they don't like us. One of them told us when we got here, he knew for a fact we were going to hell and blamed us for what happened to our friend. So I don't think they're all that happy we're here. So what are they going to say about you being over here talking with us? He says, well, I'm over here talking with you because I think we have a lot in common. He said, oh, preacher, what do we have in common? He says, well, we're doing the best we can with what we've got, and we just have to trust God with the rest. You know, that day, Michael Duncan had on a nice suit, and he looked like a Baptist preacher. But Michael had dressed himself in God's clothing of compassion and kindness and humility in love.
Well, gosh, Bert, it is the stories that bring it home, right?
Yeah.
The places where we see a community that really lives into what we see here in Colossians. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against one another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Thank you all for this good conversation.
Thank you.
Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.